Our second question today is from an email correspondent, and it goes like this. One of the things that I generally would like to know more about is whether or not when I'm doing what I'm doing, what am I actually doing? And what I mean by this is when I go about doing things, am I interacting with my reality or am I remembering something that I did in the past? Because it's beginning to feel more and more like the only time I can really be present to what I'm experiencing is by literally meditating. I can't really be present to it through my actions. And I'm really wondering what it is that this is, because I don't understand it, and it's a little disconcerting, and it throws me off balance a little bit. Is there anything you can say about this that might be helpful to me? So the bottom line here is that you are in the right place. You are in the right place at the right time. You are in the right place at the right time in the right way. That's what's going on here. Our recommendation would be to notice that you've got what's happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit, and that everything that is happening here is happening, again, on your behalf and to your benefit. We think that we don't think this is actually like you're not able to wash the dishes and be present with the washing of the dishes. We would recommend that instead what is actually going on is you're becoming aware of how often it is that you really are not paying attention to the washing of the dishes. And that it's almost like you have to really kind of like push your way through that. Now that the more you focus on that, the more you're going to get evidence that you're right. So the next thing you might want to do with this is like, let's say, do the thing that Frank has talked about and we've talked about in terms of things that he has said to us and we've noticed about him doing, and that's the walking meditation. It's something we do recommend. So why not do a walking meditation and do a really slow one? Maybe do one outside where you're in a place where there's not a lot of people. You could like walk on a sidewalk, or you can walk up the side of a hill and move very, very slowly. And just notice what's going on. What you will notice is that you get really hyper-focused on your body, which is fine. We also think that the other thing that is going on here is that you really do believe that it's necessary to kind of get out of reality in order to have what you're wanting, to move away from the physical reality, and to get really, really hyper-focused on the fact that there's certain things that have to be done in certain ways, like meditating. We also suspect that you're bringing with you a huge history of things that come from somewhere in the past about how the mind is not trustworthy, that you have to really be super vigilant about your thinking. And we think all that's just kind of bubbling up to the surface. So theoretically, you're right, but the amount of delay in, now from a metaphysical perspective, it's not small, but from a physical perspective, because remember, what you're doing is you've got two things happening simultaneously. You've got the passage of time, and then you have the fact of your movement through space. So this might be a good time to remind you, we're not certain you've ever heard this before, but to remind you that if you look at this from an astrophysical perspective as opposed to a metaphysical perspective, let's say you're sitting in a chair. You don't think you're moving, but astrophysically, you're moving in several different ways. Your body is literally moving through space in several different ways. The planet you're on is spinning on its axis. The planet itself is moving around the sun. The sun itself, which is pulling the planet with it, is moving around the galaxy. And the galaxy itself, which is pulling the sun and is pulling the planet, is moving itself around the universe. So you're moving on all these different planes. Now, they're still just XYZ coordinates, but the XYZ coordinates are changing constantly. You're moving faster than the speed of sound, obviously not faster than the speed of light. And you don't think so because the gravity well that you're in, and this is still astrophysics, the gravity well you're in keeps you planted on the chair. which is nice because you can open potato chips and they don't fly up into air. So that's good. Now that's astrophysics. And that's you didn't mention anything about this, but you're bringing, from our perspective, you're bringing this kind of idea to the table in the question. So you're aware of the fact, again, so now we're still in physics and now we're going to move into anatomy. You're aware of the fact that when light bounces off the wall, let's say you're sitting in a room and you're not looking directly at the sun, but there's sunlight in the room coming through the windows. So when the sunlight that took 8 light minutes to get from the sun to your room then bounces off the wall and comes in through your eyes, through your iris, and is then modified by your retina and then goes through the optic nerve up to your brain, there is a millisecond delay in you being able to actually be aware of what light you are seeing reflected back to you. Still physics, anatomy, astrophysics, but not metaphysics. So yeah, we think what you're doing is you're taking the idea that you don't actually ever directly experience your reality in real time to be something bigger than it actually is. Because real time is not real. There is no real time. There's constructed time. There's no other kind of time. Real time, as like a single word, means like without a delay, like watching a broadcast. Here's another example. Watching the game on the television and it's live. But it's not live. It's likely the case that there's a couple of things going on. There's likely a 7-second delay that the broadcaster uses, particularly if this is being transmitted over the air in the United States, that the broadcaster will use in case any unseemly thing happens on a live transmission so they don't get in trouble with the governing authority. But that's not the only thing that's happening. Again, there's the light being projected back and forth, but then there's the transmission of the data from, let's say, the playing field up through the wires into the truck where it's being shot off to a satellite, which has been then beamed down to the various receiving stations. However it is that you're getting the data, there's a delay in time. It's seconds, not milliseconds, but it's seconds. It's not 7 seconds, but it's maybe 1, 2, 3 seconds. So you're not actually watching the game in real time, but they will say it's real time because it's not on tape or it's not been recorded for playback at a later time. We think all of these factors are coming into the way in which you're evaluating and overanalyzing whether or not you're actually being present to who you are. And we find it interesting that this is a question that should come up at the beginning of the series, because a lot of what thriving is about, when we talk about thriving in the way that we're talking about it, is that it is something that you do see through the lens of the past. But it's a microsecond of delay that the lens of the past is bringing it to you. But by the time you notice that you're thriving, you've been thriving for quite some time. That's all to your advantage and to your benefit. We would, instead of you trying to get really good at being really very keenly present to your physical reality, because it's not going to save you. You don't need to be saved. There's nothing going wrong anywhere, even if you're not aware of anything. Just think about how you don't have to actually consciously breathe all the time. But when you do consciously breathe, it's fun. When you are present to your physical reality and to what you're manifesting in the present moment, it's fun. But it's not required. It just feels better, but it's not required. But it's not required. So we're quite certain we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of all kind of like the intertwined ways of which you're looking at physical reality and, you know, taking what you know about physics and metaphysics and astrophysics and blending them all together so that you're continuously damned as you're walking around, like putting on your clothes, taking a shower, washing the dishes, baking a cake, building a bridge, whatever it is that you're doing. And that the only thing that quote unquote saves you, and we know we're exaggerating, but this is kind of at the heart of this question. The only thing that saves you is meditation. Now, if it delights you to meditate, meditate. If it delights you to get up and take a shower, take a shower. If it get up, if it delights you to go outside and draw water from the well so that you can carry water and then chop some wood so you can chop the wood and bring it in and light the fire and make a kettle of tea, then do all those things. But don't make them wrong because you can't be super mega on top of everything present. It sounds like you want to be in this place that's good for you, like eating the right kind of food. But just in the same way that there's not the right kind of food, there's the food that tastes better to you. Being present to your present is not something that you need to do. It's something you can do. And it's something you can fall back on when you feel discombobulated. But you don't have to do it. This system is self-correcting. When it's time for your attention to come to the present moment, you will know because you will have contrast that will bring your attention to the present moment. And we're not necessarily talking about the stuff you don't like. It could be like the sound of laughter coming, you know, from another room, or it could be the smell of a rose as you're walking down the street and you pass somebody's rose bushes. It could be lots of things. It could be the sound of a bird outside that brings you back into the present moment. It's not because you need to be brought back into the present moment. It's because there's something beneficial for being in the present moment. There are plenty of flowers that you ignore their aromas, and there are plenty of birds whose chirps you don't listen to, and there's lots of times when somebody's laughing in the other room that you don't pay too much attention to that. But when it is brought to your attention, it's useful, but it's not necessary or required. You can ignore it for as long as you want to without any harm to you. So that's the answer to your question. We thank you very much, very powerful, very delicious, and very, very, very delightful. Indeed.